All right, hour number 3805. It is Alan Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. Fan CBS Sports Network built for a Tough Studio. Remember, you can always catch the program on the Odyssey app, the iHeartRadio app, or the TuneIn app. So we are basically all over the place.
A lot of apps, Jerry.
A lot of apps. A lot of places to hear us, which is
kind of cool.
You
can rewind on the Odyssey app. You can listen live on those apps you just mentioned. You can listen on podcasts.
Yep.
I like when they go, wherever you get podcasts. That started with books many years ago.
Where, like, because of the Kindle? Is that why?
No, I think because like when all the bookstores were closing and Amazon had things and then Barnes & Noble was doing stuff online, they'd go, check out my new book. Buy it wherever books are sold.
Yeah.
That just seems weird to say.
Because people, if you weren't going to Barnes & Noble, where were you buying books these days? It is interesting. I will get back to the Knicks in a minute. Think about like how some stores have hung on and some have completely disappeared. Like Barnes & Noble is still, I mean, at least by me, is still a relatively popular and very, I think, successful brick and mortar type of store, whereas others have just disappeared.
Yeah, there are a couple of independent bookstores that also do very well. There's a couple in New Jersey. There's one in Spring Lake. It's called Thunder Road Books. They just expanded. Like it's a decent sized place. Yeah, and I heard that like Barnes & Noble had a like a resurgence.
No, I know the one. So the one by me in Homedale, they switched locations I don't necessarily know that it's smaller, but it's a different layout. There are always people like it's popular, very popular, and yet you think because of Amazon and the Kindle and all things like that, where everyone's reading on their phones, you would have thought that I would have years ago that Barnes & Noble would have been gone 5 years ago, 10 years ago, who knows? Like kind of like we sit there and look at Best Buy. Like Best Buy looks like they struggle, but they're still kind of hanging in there.
Yeah, the thing that stinks though about if you're a bookstore is you have your books in there and they cost what the price on the cover says, $28, and if you go on Amazon, it's like $15. That's what sucks.
See, now that I didn't know.
Because Amazon, you know, you have to be on Amazon.
You have to, I know.
And then I think they probably tell the booksellers, you're charging this, so you're not charging your $28 for a hardcover.
Do you see a day, because you happen to be right, Amazon is the part of the, like, I like going to the store and actually seeing what I'm buying, but the convenience of Amazon is, it's on, you can't even chat, it's amazing, it's so simple. Do you see a day where anything challenges it? Like, because Target's tried, Walmart's tried, and while they might do it okay, no one does it like Amazon.
Yeah, these huge companies always get some sort of competition somewhere along the line. Cool. I don't know how, but they just don't run on forever. There's certain things that you think are just going to keep going forever the same way, and they just don't. So I think eventually that something will.
You might be right, but the infrastructure for what they have now and the way they deliver and get you stuff so fast, and it's gotten faster. Now, in some cases, it takes longer. Like if you're a third-party seller and you're holding your own inventory, you're not getting it next day. Or in some cases, you can buy a product on Amazon. It comes that night.
Yes.
I mean, to me, it's still on the up and getting better and bigger. That's, I don't know. I just don't know where that goes unless they expand too far. Now they're into medicine and prescriptions. I mean, maybe their downfall, but I don't know. I find it hard to believe that anything is going to challenge them anytime soon.
Yeah, I just feel like somebody always comes along and maybe my friend Grok will create a whole new place and I'll just tell Grok what I want. Grok, please get me this book immediately.
And you might have it within hours.
Correct.
Before we talk about the Knicks, Mark in Huntington. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. How's it going? I got another tip for Al.
Hmm.
It's an app called Viator, V-I-A-T-O-R. And it's basically like Yelp for your vacation. Anything and everything. You want to go to a museum, you want to take a cooking class, nightlife, fly fishing, you name it. It's a great thing, and you'll find all kinds of good stuff on there.
I have heard of this app. I haven't looked at it. That's a good good call. Viator.
It's almost like it's almost like you've got a travel agent in the palm of your hand now.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that you basically booked this entire trip with artificial intelligence is really something. And
correct.
It's the wave of the future, my friend.
I still had a book on my flight the same way as some sort of loser without AI.
Well, I mean, how would that make it better?
I don't know. If Grok could have just booked it for me.
Well, that would be different. Shirley in Poughkeepsie. What's up, Shirley?
Hi, guys. I actually, my book was published in October by a small publisher based in England. And when it was my first experience with having a book published. So they sell it on Amazon, and it's mostly an ebook because apparently 75% of the books being bought now today are ebooks.
That bit, wow.
And yeah. So the deal too is, so if like they carry it in some of the bookstores where I live in the Hudson Valley, but they have to buy the book from this distributor, Ingram, and then they have to pay the price, and they don't get to return it if it doesn't sell.
You mean, so hold on, Shirley. You're telling me Amazon buys the book from the publisher?
No, Amazon people order it. Well, yeah, they bought the rights to it, I guess.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I see. And people, right. Customers buy it on Amazon.
Right, but they can also get it like at Barnes & Noble, an ebook from Barnes & Noble. Which and then they can buy paperbacks, but the problem now is, I think a lot of indie publishers have this problem. They can't return unsold books and get the money back. Whereas if you Simon & Schuster or whatever, those kind of companies would buy back books, you know?
Yeah, a lot of wasted money.
So when you have an indie, my book is like they want to carry like two copies in a bookstore.
Real quick, have you had success with it?
I've had terrific reviews from readers. It's called The Fire Bell Strikes at Midnight. It's about a forest fire. West, have fun in Montana. But but it's not selling super well because it's so hard to get the word out.
That's what I kind of, Shirley, thanks. That's what I kind of figured. That's the problem.
I never understood how that made money. Like as far as like, even like, so like Evan Roberts has that book called The Mets Bible.
Yeah.
Like, I'd love to know, what did they give him for
that? I don't know.
How many books do they have to sell to break even?
I don't know what the cost is to print the book. I don't know. It's a great question. Did he get a monster? Talk to Craig. He wrote a book.
Well, the Craig, they paid a lot of money to.
Okay. But then they're expecting a big purchase then.
Correct.
That there is going to be a lot of popularity and a lot of people are going to go get it. She's right, though. You go to Amazon, as you say, there's thousands of them. And you don't know who they are, what they're writing about. I told Eddie, and they one day we did the podcast, I've written a lot of stories about all my years of coaching, but I'm like, what do you do with it?
Yeah, what do you do with
it? It was fun to write it, but you're going to publish it?
And if they go make an ebook, no one's getting that.
If she's saying, and I do happen to agree with her, you kind of alluded to it too. If most people are doing it that way and not buying the actual printed book, but then what is the fee for that? Because you're not buying the book. It's got to be cheaper if it's an ebook.
Yeah.
Significantly cheaper. I go to Amazon. Some books are $2.
Yes.
The hell are you making on $2? 20 cents?
Correct. Yes, 20
cents.
You're going
to sell a whole lot of books, I would certainly think. So, all right, one more on this and we'll move on. Michael in Florida. What's up, Michael?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
Doing all right. I just wanted to provide a little bit more context to the reason why Barnes & Noble is still kind of in the game. And the main reason why is because a lot of the universities in the United States use Barnes & Noble for their bookstores, which kind of keeps them afloat.
Well, that makes total sense. There are Barnes & Noble that aren't in college towns, but I guess they do so well in the big towns that maybe that helps fund the route. Who knows? All I know is they are one that is still going, whereas a lot are failing. All right, real quick on the Knicks, because it is a big day, and Mike Brown is being introduced. There's really not a lot to say about this. Other than the fact that everything is now official, I think we finally, and I know you had enough of the whole Tom Thibodeau talk like a week in. This is dragged on really until today. This is the official ending. You can say maybe Thursday, Friday when they made the announcement or the reports came out that they hired Brown. But to me, this is the day now that we move forward. I have been one that has been on the Tibbs side of things with the way it went down. Everybody said their piece, good or bad. Now it's Mike Brown's team. And I do think it's a shame if it's not a press conference that we are not going to get any answers whatsoever from Leon Rose about why they made the decision they did, why they tried calling team after team after team looking for other people. I thought it was interesting in the press release, something along the lines of, we know this was a long search, but we got to where we wanted to be with Mike Brown, alluding to the fact that they were looking to other people. But I do think for the Knick fan, this is the start of a new beginning. But, and I think even you would agree with this, for Mike Brown, it's win or bust. It's not like you can't take over this team and then go out in the first round next year and feel like you did a good job.
Yeah, you're not going to get a real press conference today. There's no chance. Mm-mm. You're going to... It might literally be, we're going to introduce you to Mike Brown, where they go like, ladies and gentlemen, here's Mike Brown. He goes, how you guys doing? Take it easy. Sure.
It's not
and then
that.
He leaves. They go, ladies and gentlemen, Mike Brown.
You will get Mike Breen interviewing him or an Alan Hahn, and there will be people from the Garden. I would even be surprised if there are some Knicks there today.
Do you think that they will set Mike Brown up to say, listen, we're going to get crushed if we don't address that. We tried getting all these other guys before you. Mike Breen's going to ask a really nice way, and you're going to give this positive answer, and then we're going to move on. Then no one can say we didn't ask the question.
All right, so you're saying Leon Rose is sitting there along with Mike Brown, and before they kind of move on, a quick question about Tibbs and the firing, and then that's it, and we move on, and they can say they addressed it.
No, like Mike Breen will go like... Mike Brown, a lot of people might say, yeah, was he even the first choice? You know, they kind of contacted all these teams. What do you think about that? And he'll have something very positive to say, and then they'll be like, oh, we addressed it.
Possibly. Yeah, that's very possible. Mm-hmm. But to me, you got to ask that question to Leon Rose. Like, Mike Brown, it's not his fault. He wasn't here. He had nothing to do with it. He got the job. Actually, I don't even think asking him that would even be fair. But to ask Leon Rose what you just said, I think is fair.
But maybe they ask it to Mike Brown and not Leon Rose. That way they can say we addressed it, and they didn't really ask the person who has the answer.
Let me ask you this. What is the, like, what would be the issue with having a press conference? Like, what do you, like, what would the Garden be afraid of?
Because if they get actual questions that day,
But there's nothing to humana. Like, these guys are professionals. Leon Rose was an agent. He talks for a living. Like, why would you not sit up there and know what you want to say? Because you know the questions are, all right, so here's the mock press conference. You're Leon Rose, I'm the reporter. Leon, Tom Thibodeau, advancing every single year. Why now?
Well, we just didn't feel like the team chemistry was right, and it was the time to move on. I think we'd gone as far as we were going to go, and we really think Mike Brown is the type of coach with these players that are going to get us right over the hump.
And that's a great answer, and there's nothing wrong with that answer. Follow-up, Mr. Rowe, okay, so what indicated that he had gone as far as he could? Did you not at least think he deserved a chance to try to get to the next level?
Well, be honest, Jerry, with the WFAN, we only got by Boston because of... They had those some really awful shooting days, and then that one dude got hurt. So we think we probably would have been bounced earlier, and then you would all accepted this much better.
All right, your first answer was good. Your second answer, not so good.
I used to say that sometimes we would have guests on here.
Yeah.
More so in the Boomer and Carton era, where someone would come in that they would say, they're not going to ask me about, you know, something terrible. That
sure.
I go, no, they are, but you know it's coming. Have an answer ready.
Absolutely. And that's exactly my point.
But to think that you're going to come in here and not have an answer, like, just have an answer ready.
And you're basically saying exactly what I am saying.
Yeah.
And this isn't anything terrible. Yeah, all right, it stinks if you're Tom Thibodeau, you got fired. Yes, maybe something, it wasn't fair, but it's not the worst thing in the world. Like, you're talking about maybe some bad things in someone's past that they didn't want to bring up again. There's nothing like that here. It's a basketball decision. Have a couple of answers, and at least you face the press and you move on.
Right. Be like if we had Brett Favre coming in, and Brett's like, before he goes on, they're not going to ask me about penis pictures, are they? I go, no, they're definitely going to ask about penis pictures. Have an answer ready.
Be ready.
I was very immature. I was taking Quaaludes. Something, come up with something.
Agreed. As opposed to humming a humming a humming a, like you just said.
And say it confidently. That's right. I sent those pictures. My bad.
One more on your vacation before the break, then we get to CeeLo. Brian in Northport, what's up, Bry?
Hey, guys. Oh, God, Al, I feel terrible. I should have called a month ago. You just missed the Testicle Festival in Bozeman. And it's one of the greatest things I've ever been to. So I went to college in Missoula, University of Montana, back in like late 90s, early 2000s, and it's exactly what it says. There's billboards on the highways with like cartoon characters of bulls like covering their nuts, and it's exactly what it is. It's a testicle festival. It's huge. It was on the cover of Time magazine, and it's like there's girls on the back of Harley Davidson's topless running around. It's absolutely insane.
Yeah, I'm looking at this.
I appreciate the call. I
see Montana State University Testy Fest 2025.
But yeah, this I just is missed about, it. All right, but this is about. Are you seeing the same thing I'm seeing?
The testicle report.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what
it's Testy Fest. But what's it about, Jerry?
Well, I'm on Wikipedia. Oh. This isn't...
I see.
I actually thought this was going to be something for like male health and like wellness. No.
Every once in a while, I'll just shock my testicles, Jerry.
No, you're not doing that either.
Oh, it's for they eat Rocky Mountain oysters. I bit his testicles. Rocky Mountain oysters are bull testicles, right, and they eat them there. Biting a camel's testicle.
How many did you bite? This is a food festival.
Yeah.
Of animal testicles.
I'm sure one of the local restaurants will have Rocky Mountain oysters.
Will you take in some local fare?
I will not eat bull testicles. If men dipping their testicles in soy sauce because you can taste it through the testicle skin. Yeah, yeah. That's true.
Yeah, exactly. It's still my response.
I will not try bull testicles.
God, I
will not consume them. I have three testicles. By the way, when I was working at WNEW many years ago, and the morning shock jock was one Craig Carton, one morning I got in there and he was making his staff eat bull testicles.
Oh, God. I honestly didn't know that was a thing. So,
oh, it's a thing, Jerry.
I would say he's sorry he didn't get to you earlier. I would say you should be happy he didn't get to you.
Yeah.
Until now.
Yeah, the Testy Fest.
You're all good. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get, CeeLo. He will come in next. We'll get more of your calls, 888-808-1019. We've also got some stuff quickly on Ozzy Osbourne, Black Sabbath. We've got the football and the Mets and the Yankees back in action tonight right here on The Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the morning show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
All right, Alan Jerry in for Boomer and Gio, Built Ford Tough Studio. The guys will be back next Monday. This has the sounds of a CeeLo concert at the Arts Center sitting in the lawn.
Yeah, man.
That's what that sounds like to me.
Love it.
Why do you not? Because even Alan's looked like day or two before the shows, you can get much better ticket prices.
Yeah. I mean, if I were actually available to go out and do something socially, perhaps I would try.
But you go to the Arts Center for shows.
I mean, I have in my years of living in New Jersey. No. I'm not a regular. I went last year. I went to Hootie
a few times a year.
No. I mean, they had that the season-long lawn pass, which they got rid of this year, which was a big uproar.
Mm.
So people were not happy about that. But yeah, you can get tickets individually. I don't know. I didn't love the lineup this summer. There was nothing calling out to me the way Hootie did last summer. So I was just like,
What was that wasn't last year that I saw you there?
Hootie. Oh, that you saw me there?
I didn't go to Hootie, no.
When you saw me
I had the extra ticket. Remember I was going to bring you down, but you had your friends there? You have no recollection of this.
Oh, was that Dierks Bentley?
Potentially,
two summers ago.
Yes.
Yes, 2 years ago.
That was 2 years ago?
I'm pretty sure.
Oof, okay.
I could be wrong, but I think it was two summers ago.
I thought it was last summer.
I mean, you also thought Miguel Cairo last
was
week
was more
the Yankees
recent
about,
than
like,
2007.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah, time flies, man.
All right, I'll give you, before we get to CeeLo, I'll give you a couple names, all right? This is unbelievable. These guys were on the Yankees. Think about that for a second. I'm going to mention these. The 2000 Yankees.
All right. 25 years ago.
And I'm not going to mention Posada and Tina. Forget that. They had David Justice.
Yeah.
Clay Bellinger. Jose Canseco. Jim Leyrich, you know, there was Glenn Allen Hill, that was the other one. Mm-hmm. Those
Jose
four guys,
Canseco?
They were on the 2000 Yankees. I remember Canseco on the Yankees, I do. I remember Bellinger for sure. But
David
Justice
was, I believe, I don't know if it was trade deadline, but he was a midseason acquisition and played a pivotal role in them getting to the Subway Series.
I just don't remember them all on the team at the same time.
Sure.
Or in the same season, I should say. Because even Canseco, I don't know, who knows. But yes, they were all in the 2000 Yankees.
if you go back and
I would probably
he was.
Right?
If you go back and look at images of him in the Yankee uniform hitting home runs, I mean, looked like
what
a cartoon
was the year he wrote, what was the year he wrote the book?
Which guy
that he outed people?
Which guy?
Canseco.
Oh, 2007. I think
that was right when you guys started.
Yeah,
man, lots changed. Because
that's where the Al Hughes drop came from.
Al Hughes.
I thought the
Al Hughes.
I thought it was from booking a baseball guy. And
no, it was booking Jose Canseco.
Oh, it was.
Yeah, and Gio had booked him for the midday show.
Oh,
and I
that's
think
right.
Gio booked him first, but I booked him not knowing he was booked with Gio, and then Chernoff said, he's going on the morning.
Right, right.
And then he hung up on us.
Yes. Well, because Greg asked question after question.
Correct.
That is true. What are you looking up over there?
There's like a thumbnail. I wish I could get a bigger version. Just look.
Of looking at him?
It's like a, this is in a Yankee uniform. Look at his arm there.
I would say cartoon is about right. God. Yeah.
He looks pretty like insane. Popeye the Sailor Man.
Those forearms are enormous.
All the way through the...
Guys, if you're going to be attacking me on this book, that's the absolute truth, I'll hang up on you right now, so you better start respecting me.
Well, if you want
to... As a matter of fact, goodbye.
Goodbye. Perfect. Hang up. Go ahead.
Perfect.
No backbone. Goodbye.
Right, exactly.
Boomer.
That's how young Boomer sounds.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Boomer was 44. Or 43. Oh, my God.
Damn.
Yeah. What are you now?
39.
39.
Yeah. Almost to where Boomer was for that clip we just heard, which is disturbing.
You ever try to think, like, future? Like, what's the future hold for these guys right now at the radio station who are, like, 40? 39, 40. Like,
you're very fascinated by this.
Yeah,
today.
Fascinated by it.
Loogie.
Yeah.
Like, where will Loogie be in 10 years? Where will Marash be in 10 years?
Apparently, according to you guys, apparently getting big cash to go elsewhere.
No.
Where will Sal Licata be in 10 years?
How about Gio?
Where will Gio still doing more?
Great question.
10 years. A full decade.
All right, let me ask you
this.
We're
going to have robots running around here.
2007. Forget 2007. Because you thought the show was going to be dead within 2 years.
No. In 2007, when I was going to purchase a condo, in my head I thought, they'll give this at least 3 years, and by then I could probably sell it for a profit.
Okay. So by... 2000, let's say 2008 Al Dukes.
Yeah.
When the show started to hit stride. What did you think you'd be doing in 2025?
That seemed like a 100 right. years away. I have no idea.
How long did you think the show would still be going in 2015?
In 2015?
Yes. In 2009.
I would have humming along right there. I would have just kept
so
on.
So if I go back in the time machine and I tell 2008 Al Dukes that you are still going to be working in this time slot with Boomer... In 2025, you would have said what?
Not likely.
Not likely.
Right, which is why if you ask where those guys are going to be in 10 years, I would think their hope is they're still doing afternoon drive here.
I'm covered in my own piss!
Great. That was future Gio.
Hopefully that's not what Gio is doing in 10 years.
No, it'd be probably 30 years.
Boomer, maybe. I don't know.
30 years, yeah. No, I'm fascinated by it just because of technology. And I feel like... The technology year-to-year technology year-to-year now is much different than technology was in 2007 year-to-year.
That is true.
Like, we're going to have legitimately...
It's almost month-to-month.
Robots will be... Like, the robot boss wants to see you today, Gary. You got to go talk to a robot.
It'll be Grok doing a 24-hour shift.
Let me see what's on FAN. Grok is still on?
Yeah. I don't think we see that. I really don't.
What do you mean?
Robots running. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I know that's a thing and it's coming quickly. I don't think in our lifetime though.
Let me ask you this. It's because it's a year. 1 year technology.
Yeah.
Robot Eddie Scazzeri when he retires. Like, will a robot take his, like an actual robot sitting there?
When he retires? No.
Yeah, like and when the robot hears like
no
balls or something, the robot knows balls folder and knows where the sound effects are for all
where's
the balls.
That Boomer's covered in his own piss drop. Let's find that. That's what he just played.
That was Gio yelling that.
Was it?
Yeah, yes. It was Gio, right, Eddie?
Yes, that was,
yeah,
Gio.
Oh, was wow. Gio. My bad. I thought that was Boomer.
A very rare Gio drop. There's not many drops of Gio that Eddie has.
Yeah, because he doesn't do a podcast.
Yeah.
Now you got noises that he makes, less words.
Yeah, that's true.
That is true. I don't know. To answer your question, it's not a robot that replaces
Robot him. Eddie Scazzeri?
No, there's not a piece of software or something AI that's going to replace him.
Do you think at any point in a future meeting between now and a year, I'll be sitting with the bosses and I go like this, what about a robot?
No, I don't. I don't. I think there's a better chance a robot replaces you. Automated phone screener. I do.
That's true.
I could see that more than him.
Just what Rami wants to hear on the other side of the
They could train Grok to say, you suck. You're a terrible caller.
No one cares about that anymore. We're not talking about today. You losers.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys saw last week before you went away. I think it was July 2nd, marked where the cross the halfway point. We're now closer to 2050 than we were to 2000.
That's fine. Right. Well, I don't.
Only because you just brought up 2000, and now we're talking about the future.
Robots.
So, I know. Well, but you can do that in a lot of different ways.
Sure.
I mean, if you really start thinking back, and we've done this before, if you go 25 years prior, what 25 years prior to that was?
Oh yeah.
It's like lifetimes ago.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, no, I'll pass.
Okay.
But thank you.
I can think of a computer program. You know how, like, if you want to call your bank, you have to go through some menus first?
Sure.
So, like, right here, if you call WFAN, a human picks right up. I want to set up a system that goes, hi, you've reached the Boomer and Geo show. Did you want to talk Yankees? Press 1. Mets 2.
He's trying to get himself fired.
You know you're getting your own job ousted.
No, it's just getting... We're just
wants a screener for the screener. So that when they get to him, he doesn't have to deal with
the screener
nonsense.
For the screener.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I pick up and I go, and they go, oh, I want to talk about the Knicks. I'm like, you hit the Yankee button.
So <Click.
laughs> yeah. Sorry.
Goodbye.
Yeah. I don't think that's a great idea.
Yeah. None of these callers would make it through.
If you have
By the way, Rami, when he's in there, none do.
I know.
If you have a sports adjacent topic, please hold for a human. This then I pick up.
Kramer with movie phone.
Yeah. Then I just pick up and go, how you doing?
Yeah. No, I think what you're describing is the end of your career.
Oh.
So I'd say probably not a great idea.
Then strike that from the record, Jerry.
And never said that.
Remove this from the podcast. Yeah, never
Check
said
the
that.
Tapes.
You have the Mirage stuff this hour?
Yes.
All right, take it away.
We got a couple station things. Brought to you by Roto-Rooter, America's neighborhood plumber. So Mets and Yankees were idle following the Subway Series over the holiday weekend. Mets, of course, took 2 out of 3, almost pulled off the sweep. So Sal was feeling good on the air yesterday, but certainly wasn't antagonizing Yankee fans or anything like that. Nothing over the top. So let's check in, speaking of callers and screening them.
Love
take
it.
The temperature of the Yankee caller with the midday show, BT and Sal, here on the Fan.
Tom is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, Sal, how you doing?
Good, what's up?
Listen, I have a question for you. Since your wife is impossible to please, maybe the problem is you. She needs a real man.
I'm confused, Tom. I thought we were talking about the Yankees.
Well, I changed my mind.
Why?
Your wife is impossible to please.
What's your issue with me? Are you upset because the team that I grew up rooting for beat the team that you grew up rooting for? That's not my fault.
I love that. Well, I changed my mind. Before I play the rest.
What button would it be for pleasing your wife?
Well, he changed his mind. He wanted to talk Yankees, and then he pulled an audible on the air.
My God. You need to hit zero for an operator for that.
So before I play the rest, because you'll hear him reference here, the caller, a commercial. I'm guessing it was one of those show promos maybe where they play a clip from the show, and Sal must have said something about how his wife's hard to please or impossible
to please. Yes, I know exactly the one you're talking about.
Okay, so the caller wanted to continue down that path.
Is that what you're upset at?
No, because in the
I know the commercial. We're not talking about that anymore. Tom, this is a sports talk show. I know that. It's a joke about the commercial. Do you want to talk about something else? You want to talk about my wife? Because I could give you her number if we get off the air if you'd like.
Okay, man, because she needs a real man.
Tom, we get it. I mean, what?
Tom,
I'm
come on.
I'm not even getting acknowledged. Yeah, Joe is going from New Milford. What an idiot. Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, man.
I did get laid.
What are you doing? At least once. Had to be, right?
Oh, man.
All right, so we go from that to the afternoon show with Mirage filling in for the vacationing Evan Roberts, who we heard from quite a bit on yesterday's show, across the pond in Paris over the weekend, including an episode of the Rico Bronya podcast taped in the wee hours, Paris time for Evan. We covered all that. But despite us covering it, and Evan putting it out there and everything that goes on with U.S. and France, the math was a little advanced for our guy, Mirage. So let's listen to him realize that error in real time here.
Pete Hoffman is the producer of, obviously, Sal and BT, and he handles things on the Rico. I can't believe the gall of Pete Hoffman. The idea that this guy is up in the middle of the night waiting for Evan in France to do a Rico.
Dope. What time does he take the Rico?
Never mind. It's not the middle of the night for Pete. It's the middle of the night. My whole take just stunk.
And that's when
the
future...
9:30, 3:30 thing?
Yeah. But, I mean, he was all set to go in on Hoffman, and then
and realized the light bulb went on. 9:30 at night.
So then the future, Tommy Lugauer stepped in to throw Mirage a life raft to provide some facts and some common sense.
I thought he did it around 4 in the morning. I would assume...
Oh, did he?
and I don't want to, you know, speak about Pete here, but maybe he had some plans and maybe that he had a little things he was doing and they didn't get around to it till, so 4 a.m. Paris
which
time,
is 10.
Which is 10 our time. That makes sense, right? Hoffman right. and the kids went somewhere.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, of course. Because everything is done.
I swear to you, I sat here for 6 segments and thought to myself, can't wait to get on Pete for waking up in the middle of the night to do this? And he's
I'm
not.
A fat moron. Mm-hmm.
And apparently, Rami tells me he was teasing this take for multiple segments as
wow.
well.
Wow. And then realized, oh, time
either,
zone.
Either realized it or maybe Lou Gehrig got in his ear.
Well, I would say, so I would defend him in this way. Why would you think that Evan would be up at 4 o'clock in the morning? It would make more sense that he did it when he woke up at 9 or 10 in the morning out there and that Hoffman got up at 4 a.m. to post it.
Because he made a point of saying it right out of the gate of the podcast.
What Evan. Can I tell you? I'm trying to help you.
I know
guy.
You are.
I don't know. I'm trying.
There is no helping
I guess not.
Him, I don't think.
I guess not.
Plus, I know he listens to the morning show on his way into work or
and
doing whatever it is
about
he's doing. So,
though,
yeah. I don't know. Hmm. I mean, obviously, he was ready to go all in on Pete, so he was up on
yes.
the podcast and the timing of everything. So, in any event.
A little confusing.
Yeah. Phillies lost to the Giants out in San Francisco 3-1. So, the Mets resume play tonight at Camden Yards against the Orioles. They will do so within a game of Philadelphia atop the NL East. You got Clay Holmes and rookie Brandon Young going for Baltimore. 6:35 first pitch on Odyssey Mets Radio. The Blue Jays with their 9th straight win, their longest streak in 10 years. So, they beat the White Sox last night. They now have a 3.5 game lead over the Yankees. Atop the AL East, you get the Yankees and the Mariners beginning a series tonight in the Bronx. Will Warren and Logan Gilbert, 6:25 pregame coverage on the Fan and the free Odyssey app. All right, we know the Pirates stink, right? So there's been a lot of discussion.
Been better since the managerial change, but they're not good.
Okay, they don't score any runs. Paul Skenes
well,
is 4-7 with a sub-2 ERA, so he'll probably get traded at some point. But you wouldn't think
not this year,
this summer, right? But there might be some guys that they move off of that roster, right? So you're familiar with Brian Reynolds. He's mm-hmm. been an all-star in the past. He's a good hitter. He's played his career in Pittsburgh. So he's got a limited no-trade clause. Did you see this by any chance?
I did not.
A limited no-trade protection. So there are, let's see, 1, 2, 3. There's 6 teams on his no-trade list.
That he will not go to.
At least has the option to say no
okay.
to. You want to take a guess on any of those teams?
Well, since you're asking me, it's going to be stupid then. Yeah, you guys, so the Mets or Yankees?
Yankees, Mets.
Red Sox?
Blue Jays, Dodgers, Giants, and Padres.
Are you sure it's not the other way around that those are the only 6 he would accept a trade to?
No, those are the teams he can block to.
Well, why would you do
I would
that?
Love to go to San
so
Diego.
So people, of course, are like, oh, this
Worried
guy
about pressure?
Just wants to stay in Pittsburgh and be a loser. So the story I read suggested that those teams already are deep at the positions he plays.
Mm.
But why would they go out of their way to acquire him if they're
really
deep at those spots? That was a little bizarre.
Because, wow, that's very interesting.
Yeah, and I know he signed some sort of extension there a few years back to stay in Pittsburgh.
Right.
And they obviously haven't been very good. So there's a little bit of an eyebrow raiser for some people when they saw that yesterday. One of the local beat reporters there put that report out.
Yeah.
So it got some traction. Thought that was a little interesting as we head towards the deadline and both the Mets and the Yankees are going to be, you know, looking to bolster their roster.
Because that just sounds on the surface, doesn't want to play in a big market.
That's
what that sounds like.
That's the way it came across.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a little deeper than that, but on paper, when you look at those teams, now the Blue Jays right now have gotten hot, but Boomer, we're
yeah,
going to talk to you about the taxes and everything. Same for the Dodgers, the Giants, and the Padres, all California teams.
Yep.
Maybe that's a factor, but interesting when you look at those teams and where they are in the standings right now. Mike Brown, officially hired by the Knicks. Just to recap kind of what we touched on in the opening segment, the way it's being phrased or worded is that you can join the MSG studio crew for the introduction of Mike Brown beginning today at 2:30. So unclear if media will be in attendance.
That sounds
and
pretty
if
clear
so,
they won't be.
And if so, are they
like.
Just there to view? Can they
yes.
actually ask questions?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's
8:44. One more.
That's
fine.
When did that happen?
Give me one more.
That's all right. It's like a little
okay.
fun audio piece that we can save for next hour.
For next hour?
Because it's we're light on that today.
Fair enough.
I can tell.
We'll do it next hour, then.
All right.
All right, Chris, we'll see you in a little bit. We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
All right, 10 in front of 9. It is Alan Jerry in for Boomer and Gio. The guys will be back next Monday. Built Ford Tough Studio. One call. I want to get to this Aussie stuff, but Jerry in East Hanover. Jerry, what's going on? Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Great. What's happening?
Well, first of all, I am a big fan of you guys at 5 o'clock, so I
Thank
love
you.
It. You have about 5 years before I retire, so I need you on still for another 5 years.
Ah, well, I think I'll make it as long as I don't get fired. I don't know about Al.
I'll give you 4 years, Jerry.
All right.
Well, I'll accept four. I will settle for four. So here's my question. You guys are talking about questions you would ask Leon Rose and then a follow-up question. And in your original response, it said, you said that Mike Brown could take him over the top. So my follow-up question would actually be, if you feel Mike Brown can take you over the top, then why was he your fifth choice or sixth choice or gazillionth choice of interviewing for the job?
You're right. You're absolutely right. That would be a great follow-up, and that's a great question because he was available. You know what I think the answer to that would be, Jerry, is that they liked him, but they wanted to swing for the fences first, knowing they could still get him. That would be my answer to that. I don't know if that's true, fair, or not, because, again, if you think he's the guy, they should have just hired him right out the gate. But maybe they're like, listen, we know we got Mike Brown over here and Taylor Jenkins. They're not going anywhere. Let's try for these guys. I don't know. It's a good question.
I would go like this. I'd be like, well, one person didn't make this decision. We made it as a team, so we brought in a whole bunch of different people. We talked to a whole bunch of different coaching candidates, and in the end, really, Mike Brown was the best candidate for us, and we're just so happy he was available.
If those questions are even asked.
Or just deny, be like, we didn't ask about Jason Kidd. I don't know what.
Well, the problem with that is I actually think there have been comments from these other teams about it. So I don't know that you could quite do that.
I think you can just deny. Like, I remember hearing Dennis Rodman on a talk show during his crazy days, may have even been on the Howard Stern show. And he said that Carmen Electra caught him in bed with a woman. And he said, I just said to her, there's no woman in my bed. He's like, well, no, I see the woman. And he goes, no, she's not here.
There is a song about things like this. It wasn't me.
Yeah. Yes. So, like, when you guys talked to Jason Kidd, like, we didn't talk to Jason Kidd. Who else were they rumored to talk to?
Chris Finch.
I don't even know who Chris Finch is. That's what I would say. I don't know who that is.
It's a good thing you're not doing the press conference. T-Wolves.
T-Wolves?
Yes. How about Ime Udoka?
Ime Udoka?
Yes.
Sounds familiar, but we did not talk to him.
So he used to be the Celtics head coach.
Yeah.
The Nets were then going to hire him, but something came up in his something came up where they didn't, and he went to the Rockets.
I just like, you're confusing us with the Nets. Next question.
That's not the way it works.
Just have that Caroline Levitt do the press conference. She's good. She just yells at the reporters. She's good.
Yes, she does handle that well.
She'd be like, Jason Kidd, he's a loser. We didn't want him. Next question.
Maybe this is why they didn't have the press in, or they're not going to have the press in
today. There's no chance there. Is asking questions.
Do you think they get to submit questions?
Yeah, I mean, you could submit all you want. Right. They don't have to.
They'll take what they want. But see, so this would be smart in their case. Next question comes from Mark Berman of The Post. And it's, what do you think about the rotations? And this is where they can say they got questions from the media.
Thanks for the question, Mark.
Even though it's not him sitting there and asking the tough questions.
Just create fake questions.
Oh, Frank Isola wants to know. Nope, not answering, not asking that one. He's out.
Yeah.
Ay-yay-yay. What a difference, man. What a difference.
Yeah, this ain't going to be like a press conference where people just can fire questions.
And you just think these managers have to talk before in every baseball game. We don't hear from, I know the Knicks coaches talk too, but we never hear from the GM. At least Brian Cashman comes out in the middle of the season and does something once in a while. David Stearns just talked last week in the middle of that mess the Mets were in the middle of. We haven't heard from Leon Rose since he took the job. It's just weird. Very, very different. That is true. I was going to do the Aussie thing, but just Craig in Queens. What's up, Craig?
Hey, good morning, guys.
How you doing?
Yeah, there was a name. Okay. There was a name out there that I hadn't heard anyone mention, and this guy's coached in New York. He's coached megastars, and he has a 94-67 record, and that's Steve Nash.
Yeah, but let me ask you this, though.
No one's mentioned him at all.
But let me ask you this. I'm a Net fan, and I'm being serious when I ask you this question. How much coaching did he do with those guys? I'm not taking anything away from him. I'm not saying he wasn't great with them, because I don't know. I wasn't behind closed doors with them. I don't know how he handled them, but I do know he was let go, or did he quit? I forget. Either way. And you had Durant and Irving. I don't know. I can't base any of his record on being with the Nets.
I mean, you can't, but then you can. I mean, what have the Knicks done the last, 50 years, really? I mean, they've gone to championships, but they haven't won anything.
No, they haven't won anything.
Mike Brown hasn't won anything at all.
No,
he hasn't been.
First of all, Craig, I'm with you. This is not where I would have gone. I would have kept Tibbs. All good. We move on. That having been said,
the thing
about Mike Brown is I know he had LeBron. He did win the conference, did get to an NBA Finals. He did win a championship as an assistant on the Warriors. He did take the Kings from the doldrums into the playoffs. So I know what you're saying, and I would not have done this myself, so understand that. But I will defend the hire. He has been a good coach in this league. I don't know that I can say that about Steve Nash. I just can't. I watched him every night. They had good players. They had two of the best players at one point. Three, if you count the 3 weeks James Harden played with those guys. But you can't go from a coach that has taken step by step by step and then take another coach that hasn't gone. That just doesn't work for me. So, no.
I went right to Steve Nash's Wikipedia page. And then I always go right to personal life to see like what's going on with this guy. Interesting life he had here, Jerry. He gets married. He and his wife have a baby. He announces the birth of his baby and says, "Oh, and we're getting a divorce."
Oh, wow.
Then he met and married a volleyball player. Oh, yeah.
so creepy.
And they have a son and daughter together.
And they're still together?
According to this Wikipedia, it seems like they're still together, Jerry.
And you saw the Ryan Lochte stuff with the girlfriend and the ex-wife. That's ugly.
Ryan Lochte, maybe a couple weeks ago, he and his wife announced they were getting divorced, and now he's got a new girlfriend already.
And what was the term that the wife posted on Instagram? What was it? It wasn't that he cheated, something else.
So hold on, Jerry. Let me get
it. Then the girlfriend came out and said nonsense.
Betrayal.
That was it. And I guess she said everything we've done and the way we met was, you know,
on innocent. The up and up.
Yeah. And there was no such thing as betrayal. That he has her heart, I guess. I mean,
like, what does that guy do all day? He was an Olympic swimmer. What does he do now?
I don't know. Swims. I don't know. I mean, Lindsay Vonn has gone back to skiing. She's what, in her 40s now? So maybe he stays in shape to try one more time. Maybe he still does competition. I don't know.
He's 40 right now, this Ryan Lochte. Okay. We had him in here 2 years ago.
Ryan Lochte?
Yeah. On a solo Craig show.
How about that? Amazing.
Ryan Lochte.
That's why when you do the book that's got all the guests in here through the years, it's eye-opening to me.
Yeah.
Because I've sat here through it. I know in the newsroom, but I've been here. And there's very few that I remember. I remember Shaq. Him I remember.
Ryan Lochte, not so much.
Biggest guest you've had in? Shaq?
Physically the largest?
No. I mean like, because that would be him, I would think.
Yeah, here's how I would put up there.
Hulk Hogan, maybe?
Hulk Hogan, Shaq, Mike Tyson.
Okay.
Those are the...
What about non-sports guys? Or do you need a minute to think about that? Because you've had several non-sports guys in here, too.
Yeah, I would need to try to think about that one. I don't know.
All right, you do that. We'll come right back. We'll reset. We'll give you the biggest guess. And then a whole lot more. It is Al and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Don't go away.